Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Appreciate you spending some time with us on a very sunny but very cold Thursday afternoon where I am. Hopefully it's a little warmer where you are as we're getting ready for another week of NFL action. And earlier today, I published the Week 10 rankings update over at The Score. I'm going to do another pass on those before the Thursday nighter kicks off. And we got a few injury situations that I'm trying to sort through. We got the Bengals receivers. That's really a tricky one right now. I had to put Ja'Marr Chase back into the rankings. I had to take T. Higgins out today. That's because Chase returned to practice. Higgins sidelined today, and that's not great news after injuring his hamstring on Wednesday, and he was listed as limited in that practice. I was hoping that he'd be back out there today and we wouldn't have to worry about it, but now I think the concern level is very high and he might not play in week 10, but we'll know more when we do the Friday injury update show tomorrow. For now, it's mailbag time, so let's get to it. At ScottyD2413, I'm in first place with the top waiver wire spot. It's time to start looking at adding guys for the playoff stretch. Who's got the best matchups? So normally I do a whole episode on this in a couple weeks as we get a little closer to the fantasy playoffs, but I'm going to give you a few players because I don't know who's available in your league. If you're talking about using the waiver wire spot, then you're just looking at my waiver wire column each week, and I have lots of players in there. Some of them are long-term stashes. There's all kinds of different options you can look to in that one. What I'll do today here is I'll give you a few players that I think you could be targeting, maybe in trades, guys that I think could really step up for the fantasy playoffs and maybe put you over the top. So at running back, I know Austin Eckler, he's not going to be cheap to acquire, but you look at his schedule from week 14 on, it is great. He gets the Broncos, the Raiders, the Bills, and the Broncos again. Denver giving up the most fantasy points to running backs this year. The Raiders are fourth in that category. And the Bills are middle of the pack, but their defense really hasn't been the same since they lost Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White. So Eckler is just going to destroy over that month. The Falcons, their running backs are set up really nicely. At week 15, they get the Panthers. Week 16 against the Colts. Week 17 at the Bears. Those are all top eight fantasy matchups for running backs. So Bijan Robinson, his value's down a bit at the moment. Maybe you can capitalize on that and go and get him. Or you stash Tyler Algier for that stretch, right? Maybe something happens to Bijan, or maybe just Algier steps up during those kind of games and gives you flex value and you can play him in your lineup. One more running back will give you two, Jerome Ford. So he gets three of the top 10 easiest opponents for fantasy backs during those playoff weeks. You get the Bears, the Texans, and the Jets. And I know the Jets D is good, but their pass defense is really what dominates. Running backs do okay against them. And Ford, he's healthy now. He's back to leading that backfield again. So he's somebody that I really like for that final month or so. For receivers, the Seahawks trio, I think they're looking good for the fantasy playoffs. You get four straight top 10 matchups for them. So some real pass funnel defenses in there. The 49ers, the Eagles, the Titans, the Steelers. And that means DK Metcalf for sure, but also Tyler Lockett and even Jackson Smith and Jigba. They're going to get upgrades over that stretch. And then at tight end, this one's obvious, but TJ Hawkinson. And really for him, the schedule the rest of the season is pretty good. There's really no scary opponents left on his slate. So in the fantasy playoffs, he gets the Bengals in week 15. They give up the most fantasy points to tight ends. And then he gets the Lions in week 16. They give up the fourth most. And if you listen to yesterday's show, you will remember that Andrew Cooper, he talked about those two defenses as some of the best matchups to target for tight ends. So Hawkinson, he's going to do his part to get you to the fantasy championship. But like I said, I'll do another episode in a week or two and we'll talk about some more playoff matchups and we'll try to get you an edge there. At D86 Harp, is Alexander Mattison an RB1 for the rest of the season with Cam Akers out? I mean, he's the unquestioned RB1 for the Vikings now. You know, I'm not really worried about Ty Chandler taking his job kind of the way that Akers might have over time, but I don't see Madison becoming an RB1 for fantasy because if you listen to the quotes from Kevin O'Connell over the last couple days, they plan to let Chandler and even Kenny Nwangu get some work. They're going to let those guys try to fill that Akers role. So yes, you know, Akers being out is going to help Madison's fantasy stock, but I don't think O'Connell sounds very happy with where this run game's at right now. And, you know, fantasy managers, they can't be too happy with what we've got from Madison either. He's been okay, but there really hasn't been as many big weeks as I had hoped. And he's the RB 35 in fantasy points per game. That is a disappointment based on where we were taking him. Now, that being said, he does have some good matchups coming up after this week. He gets the Broncos in week 11, the Bears in week 12. He gets the Raiders in week 14. So maybe if your trade deadline is week 12 or around there, maybe if he has a big game in week 11 against the Broncos, then you could try to trade him away for something. But I'm valuing him as a low-end RB2, high-end RB3 rest of the year. At Grand Invicto, is Raheem Mostert an RB1 for the rest of the season? So it wouldn't be a mailbag show if we didn't have a question about the Dolphins' backfield, right? I feel like we get at least one every single week. But no, Mostert will not be an RB1 moving forward. And that's because Devon Achane is expected to return when they come back from bye. So that's going to make Mostert more of an RB2 for fantasy. You know, still a guy who could be a starter in your lineup and a guy who can certainly have some big games, but he's going to be splitting that pie with Achane, and maybe a few carries will go to Jeff Wilson, but it's mostly going to be Mostert and Achane. And when we saw that happening before this season, despite the fact what happened in that Broncos game when they put up 70 points, that's kind of its own outlier, but Mostert can definitely give you RB2 value. I don't see him being an RB1 unless there's more injuries in that backfield. At SportsGuy5291, should Darren Waller be held on to? I have Trey McBride right now. So I would try to hold him if you can, you know, especially if you can stash him in an IR spot. But he's going to need a lot of things to go right here in order to get back into your lineup for the fantasy playoffs. You know, he's going to need Tyrod Taylor to come back. Tyrod Taylor's on IR. I don't think it's guaranteed he's going to return this season. I'm not even sure why the Giants would want to bring him back. You know, if they're not in the playoff hunt, what's the point of putting Tyrod out there? And then Waller also needs to get healthy himself. And we don't know if he's going to push to come back, kind of the same way that I'm talking about Tyrod Taylor. With the state of the team right now, is there a reason to put Waller back out there when we know he's dealt with hamstring issues before and he's on the older side and all that sort of stuff? And then on top of that, he's got a bad matchup in the first week of the fantasy playoffs. He's got to face the Saints. So I would hold him on IR if you can. If you have a deep bench, maybe you could leave him there. But I like McBride as a low-end tight end one with Kyler Murray back. And, you know, if there's somebody on the waiver wire that you really want and Waller's really the only player that you can drop to get him, I'm okay with it. I doubt that you are going to regret dropping Darren Waller at this point. You know, just everything has gone wrong with the Giants this year, and I don't think we're going to see that turnaround between now and the end of the season. At Joe Mosh KC, Zay Flowers. I love him a little more every day, but the past 2 weeks have been concerning. What is your level of concern for the Ravens receiver going forward? Your trade value chart has him over a player like Jahan Dotson. Are these trade value charts also your rest of season rankings? And then we have at Smithmaster22 who wants to know, do you think Zay Flowers' rough last two games are just variants, or is there something more that we should be worried about? So first off, about the trade value charts, yes, they are also rest of season rankings. There's a ranking column on the left, and then the values are on the right. So those are rest of season rankings. I will also say I love Zay Flowers too, but his production, it hasn't been as good as his play so far. And I mean, he hasn't topped 80 yards in any of his outings. He's only got one touchdown on the year. So he hasn't really been able to save some of those down games by having a trip to the end zone, right? Sometimes we see players, even the top receivers, they'll have a game where they only get a couple catches, but they'll find the end zone, and then that kind of makes their day okay for fantasy. So yes, he was putting up a good amount of catches each week, but it was a lot of intermediate stuff. It was a lot of short stuff. And then he was making moves and gaining extra yards. And now that you have Beckham and Bateman back, the balls are getting spread around a little more, and Zay's playing time has even dipped down a bit. So I think this is more about expectations, because he's looked so good during games. He's been so shifty and elusive out there, and he's dangerous with the ball in his hands. But his usage with everybody healthy, it's been way more like wide receiver 3 range for fantasy than it has been, you know, wide receiver 2 or better. And we had hope that that was going to happen, but it just hasn't gone that way for him. So that's how I'm valuing him at the moment, more as a wide receiver 3 and a guy who hopefully will start to get into the end zone and make some bigger plays downfield. But right now, you just got to look at him as kind of a volume dependent wide receiver 3. At Tony Pfeiffer, how do you see the Montgomery-Gibbs work distribution panning out through the fantasy season? Does Montgomery end up with the majority, just not as much as he had? What do you see as Montgomery's floor? RB3? Guess who of the two is on my team? Okay, so I guess I'm going to assume that you are a Montgomery manager. And I talked about this one recently at some point. I think you're going to like what I have to say here if you are a Montgomery manager, because even though we saw Gibbs have some success when Montgomery was out, Dan Campbell and that crew there for the Lions, I mean, they see Montgomery's running style. They see it as the identity for their team. So I project that Montgomery's going to come back and he's going to resume that lead back role and he's going to be the better fantasy play. Now, I think the plan the whole time was to get Gibbs more touches as the season went along, and he showed so well over this last stretch that he's certainly earned a bigger share. But it's going to be 60-40 in favor of Montgomery, or at best 50-50. And Montgomery's the one who's going to get the goal line touches. We know that. So bottom line, I think they're both going to be fantasy starters. I think they're both going to be top 24 backs. But Montgomery's the one that's going to be higher in my rankings. And it's because of that touchdown upside in an offense that we expect to score quite a bit over the next couple months here. So I think you could be excited about having Montgomery in your lineup. And when we're talking about floors, I mean, you know what it is for him. If he doesn't find the end zone, if he only gets a catch or two in the game, then he ends up being kind of that Deonta Foreman type guy where maybe gets 60, 70 yards. And yes, he would be a high-end RB3 at that point. But you're going to be happier more weeks than not having Montgomery in your lineup. And then the last one here, at Skoll Actuary, what backup running back should we stash now in deep dynasty leagues for next year? Deep as in Keaton Mitchell was rostered way before this week. So I love questions like this. I'm in a bunch of deep dynasty leagues where I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm trying to stash players all the time, especially at running back. And often in those, I'm going up against other analysts. So we're all trying to outbid each other and get some of these guys that are really, really deep and not rostered in many leagues. But if you don't get them early, you normally don't get them at all. Now, the bad news is if a player like Keaton Mitchell was already rostered, then the odds of you finding like a gem on the waiver wire, it's pretty slim. We have to be honest about that. But we're going to try anyway here. And based on what you said about Keaton Mitchell, I'm going to assume that players like Jordan Mason on the 49ers and Izzy Abanikanda on the Jets and Chris Rodriguez on the Commanders, I figure they're all rostered. So I will go even deeper on it. One guy that I really like, Chris Brooks on the Dolphins, and he's on IR right now, so he's even easier to stash. You could pick him up and just throw him in an IR slot, but he's in that Miami system. You know, running backs there, if they get a chance, we know they can produce. He's got good size. He runs with power. You know, maybe could be a nice complement to Devon Achane in 2024. I mean, it's a possibility. So he's somebody that I would try to put at the end of your bench or in an IR slot. Emmanuel Wilson on the Packers. You know, the team clearly isn't happy with A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon's a free agent after this season. Aaron Jones is on the older side. He's going to be 29 in December. So we don't really know what that backfield is going to look like in 2024, and that's kind of what you want to target for things like this, right? You want to grab a depth piece in a backfield where there might be some uncertainty going into next season. And Wilson, he performed well in the preseason. He's gotten some looks in the regular season too. Over the last 3 weeks, he's gotten 6 touches, turned him into 62 yards from scrimmage, and that's playing minimal snaps, and that's really what you want to see. You want to see a guy who, when he is getting opportunities, he's making the most of them. So maybe he can earn a role next season. He's another one. And then Elijah Dotson on the Chargers. He was a preseason star too, buried on the depth chart for the Chargers right now, but he's another guy who, he's got a shot, albeit a long shot, to become something in that backfield. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he moves up the depth chart next season and becomes the number 3 or maybe even the number 2 back for the Chargers. So those are very, very deep ones. I think that's what you were looking for, though, based on what you said about Keaton Mitchell. So if you want more, just wait. My Dynasty Trade Value Charts, the update will come out later this week. I'm aiming for Saturday. It would have been last Saturday, but I had my friend's wedding. So it's always tough carving out time during the season to do the Dynasty content, but I want to do that for you. In past years, I think I've only done like one update to the Dynasty rankings around mid-season. This year, I'm trying to keep it up every single month. So Saturday should be the day. And then when that comes out, just scroll down, look at the running back rankings. I normally go like 80 to 100 backs deep. Sometimes I put even more in there, depending, but you'll find some stashes down that list for sure. And that is all for today's show. So remember, the Thursday rankings update, that is live over at The Score. I'll have Start, Sit, Stash, Quit up on Friday, and then we'll do the Friday injury updates episode tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be doing the Twitter takeover on Sunday morning. You know, all the usual content leading up to that Sunday slate. But until then, big thanks again for all the questions today. Big thanks to everybody for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.